Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the neighborhood of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples this question: "What do people say about who the chosen one is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "And you," he said, "who do you say that I am?" "You are the Messiah," Simon Peter answered, "the firstborn of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, begot of Jonah. No mere mortal has revealed this to you, but my Abba God in heaven. I also tell you this, your name now is Rock, and on bedrock like this I will build my community, and the jaws of death will not prevail against it. Here I will give you the keys to the reign of heaven. Whatever you desire bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus strictly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, the good news of salvation. Father Frank was kind enough to send me his homily, so that was a great gift. So the question at Caesarea Philippi. My brothers and sisters, today we find ourselves at a geographic and spiritual crossroads in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus takes his disciples to the far northern region of Caesarea Philippi. This was a place dominated by massive rock formations, pagan temples, and a shrine dedicated to the god Pan. Against this backdrop of competing worldly powers and religions, Jesus asks a dual question. First, who do people say that the Son of Man is? The disciples list the popular opinions: John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People saw Jesus as a great figure, but they viewed him strictly through the lens of the past. Then Jesus narrows his gaze and makes it intensely personal. But who do you say that I am? Peter's confession, a gift of grace. Before anyone else can hesitate, Simon Peter steps forward. Big surprise. He declares with absolute certainty, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is the peak of Peter's discipleship in Matthew's gospel. He recognizes that Jesus is not just another historical prophet. Jesus is the living, breathing presence of God on earth. But Jesus immediately reminds Peter that this insight did not come from his own intellect or sharp theological training. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Faith is a divine gift. Peter's clarity did not come from human logic, but from a heart open to God's grace. Relationship over information. P- Peter just didn't know about Jesus. He personally knew and trusted him. Peter didn't just know about Jesus. He personally knew and trusted him. Because of this faith, Jesus changes Simon's identity. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus promises him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This appointment is highly significant because Jesus knows exactly who Peter is. He knows Peter is impulsive. He knows that in just a few moments, Peter will misunderstand the cross and be rebuked. He knows that on Good Friday, Peter will deny him three times out of fear. Yet Jesus does not wait for Peter to become perfect before giving him the keys. God chooses flawed instruments. God chooses flawed instruments. The church is built on a rock that falters, proving its ultimate strength comes from God, not human perfection. Authority is meant for service. Like Eliakim in today's first reading, Peter is given keys not for personal privilege, but to act as a servant leader to the household of faith. Jesus' question did not die with Peter at Caesarea Philippi. It echoes down through the centuries and stands before us this morning. Who do you say that I am? It's easy to reply with standard catechism answers or traditions we inherited. But Jesus wants to know who he is to you in your daily life. Is he just a historical figure? Is he merely a safety net when things go wrong? Or is he truly the Lord of your life, your decisions, and your relationships? Like Peter, our faith journeys will have moments of immense clarity, but they will also have moments where we sink, doubt, or fail. The good news of Peter's story is that Christ does not abandon us when we stumble. He keeps inviting us back to the rock-solid ground of his love. Let us pray today for the courage of St. Peter. May we move past simply knowing about Jesus and step into a life completely transformed by him. When the world offers shifting sands, may we stand firm on our own confession of faith. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So as you each hold that rock in your hand, that is you, that is imperfect, that stone is a building block for the foundation of the kingdom of God. And we each place our rock when we get up in the morning and all night long, in terms of how do we know that we are worthy, which we've just heard, in our imperfect self. We are God's rocks. If Peter was a rock, we certainly are. And that comes with it responsibility and accountability and a great deal of love from Jesus. So we know that the building block that was rejected, as in Jesus, became the cornerstone of a whole new world. That goes with a little song, you know. The building block that was rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. The building block that was rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. So when you feel rejected, we're still cornerstones. We're still building blocks. We have what Peter had, And we need to own it and live it and love it. So how will you serve? Wrong book.